Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
This week, when I was reading my Bible, this stood out to me. I don't even know if it's what verse it is, really, because it's under the devotional I read. So the guy that does the devotional, he's explaining it, but I don't think he listed the verse, but it says, okay. So it says, Jesus says, do not be afraid of them. You do not need to be afraid of other people, however powerful they may be. For example, councils, governors, and kings. Without knowing it, they've done you and me a favor, giving you a platform for preaching the kingdom news. And don't worry about what they'll say or what you'll say or how you'll say it. The words will be there. The Spirit of your Father will supply the words. And then the other one that stood out was, Jesus says that if you fear God, you need to fear no one else and nothing else. God is in ultimate control. Are you two are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet none of them will fall. none of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. Not only is He in control, but He loves you deeply. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. Fear not. Then you're more valuable than many sparrows. Jesus cares about what happens to you even more than you do.
There's somebody here that's been... You've been asking God for direction, and He's given it to you. Now it's a matter of obedience. He says that with faith like a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Like a mustard seed. You know, we see a seed so small, but what we don't realize is the seed is actually within the casing. It's even smaller. That's all you need. All you need is to realize that if I just take this step, even if I don't necessarily feel ready, even if I don't see where I'm going, even if I don't know what's going to happen next, if you're just obedient and you take this step, you begin to see that you can move mountains. You begin to see the power that's within you, your royalty. You are the sons and the daughters of a king. We've talked a lot about the Holy Spirit and the importance of hearing. And I feel like this morning He's saying, you're hearing, but now you gotta listen to me. You gotta be obedient. You gotta be willing to take the steps that I'm ordering for you. Sometimes we allow what we want and what we feel and what we think to get in the way of what He's trying to do in our lives, because if we would just be obedient and move into the things that He's given us, we'll begin to see these things come forth in our life that we never imagined, that we never knew, that we never thought of. Because we have to realize it's not us who changes the world. It's Him within us. That as we begin to allow Him to shine in our life, as we begin to allow Him to do things in our life, we become who He's created us to be, the salt and the light of the earth. Whew. We know a lot of the way we act and the things we do are scrutinized, especially in moments in the world right now where there's so much division. There's so much things going on. And you know what? We're not meant to be like the world. We're of the kingdom. We're meant to be showing something else. We're meant to be showing the love of God. We're meant to be showing who He is, not who we want, what we want, who we think that should be sitting up on the presidency or anything else that's going on in this world. It's us realizing that no matter what happens in this world, no matter what happens in our lives, if we understand that the King of Kings is the Lord of Lords, there is nothing that can stand against us. which then allows us, it releases us. When you put your faith in him, it releases you to be able to be who he's created you to be. You gotta let go. You gotta let go of some things. You gotta stop worrying about how bad the things are around you. You gotta stop looking at the storm. You gotta stop focusing on what's happening around us. You gotta stop staring at the waves. And you gotta realize my eyes are upon the Maker. My eyes are upon the one who fights for me, who solves every problem, who gives me the tools I need in every moment, and that he's the only thing that I need. He's created you for greatness. He created you for such a time as this. You shouldn't be scared. You shouldn't be worried about what's happening, what's going to happen when you go to work, what's going to happen for your kids to go to school. No, we shouldn't be worried. We should know we were created for a time like this. You were placed here now because he knew that what he was doing, he could work within you. He knows exactly the gifts he's placed within you, the things that he's given you. And all we have to do is learn to keep our eyes on him. Be obedient. When he tells us to move, we move. When he tells us to speak, we speak. When he tells us to be quiet, we're quiet. Because if we allow him to be the one moving, you'll begin to see a change that's like none other. You'll begin to show people something that is so undeniable, that is so beautiful, that they just want what you have because you have what they need.
Yeah. Thank you. Ooh, hallelujah. Brother Terry, this word I believe is for you and for whoever else is in the house, but also Joey, as you walk through the door and I hug you, I feel this word is also for you, brother. So what the word of God says, haven't I written unto you excellent things in wisdom and in knowledge? That I might make you to know the words of truth, and that you might answer Terry, Joey, the words of truth to those that I send to you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And I think this word is to the whole house. God send it. This is a time where God will be sending people to you, to you, to you. Because why? Because you have the truth within you. Whoa.
Hallelujah.
Terry, he's going to bless what you're doing. The man, he says, the humble and the contrite heart. That's what he looks for. He looks for the heart that's humble and contrite. Joey. Apparently, bro, he's seen your heart and he knows what's within you. And he's calling you. He's sending you people. Where you're at, what you're doing, bro. You watch. And everyone that's in the building, the same thing to you. The word of God is within you. Let it flow forth in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So receive the word. Receive that word. Oh, the Lord is good and worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Does anybody else have a word for the body of Christ this morning?
I feel like the Lord's saying, don't fear. This week, I was reminded of the children of Israel and how Moses brought them out. God used him. And as they went out into the wilderness, they couldn't see directly in front of them what God was doing. And because of that, they were afraid. And because of their fear, they wanted to turn back to what they already knew. It's not going to be normal what God's going to have for us, but trust in him that what he's doing is a new thing. Don't go back to the familiar. because fear will only grip you and it'll keep you stagnant.
You know, sometimes we have to go to the mountain. As we walk up the mountain, there's lots of rocks on the mountain. We have to climb to the top. We have to get to the rock. Beyond the rock, we have to go where the burning bush is. The fire, the all-consuming fire. Is there a fire in the house today? Does anybody want the fire? This is a year of fire. Can you feel it? Can you feel it in this house? This is a year of fire. The Lord says this is the year of the fire. The all-consuming fire. Do you want to be consumed by the Lord? This is the year. This is the time.
I just felt that the Lord was saying that there are treasures within each one of you. And sometimes, you know, treasures aren't just out there for people to see. They're within the depths of your heart. And as the scripture says, that where your heart is, that's your treasure, right? Where your heart, that signifies what's within you. And I believe that right now the Lord is just saying to allow him to take those hidden treasures from you. You are a treasure just in yourself, just who you are. And I believe he's saying to just allow for you to see yourself as he sees you. A beautiful creation. When he created mankind, he said that it was good. And so you're hiding things. You don't want him to have. And everything you have here belongs to him. So allow him to dig out those treasures, expose those things that he needs to have so that you can touch others. Thank you.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo, everybody say amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you want, you can be seated if you're ready. Unless you got one word just dying, it's got to get out. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Come here, sis. That's okay. You want? I'll bring you the mic.
I don't want to be on front of stage, but to Rebecca and Analani, like, honestly, it just, like, her daughter was sick, and they joined the gym, and, you know, we're all, like, sad or whatever because, you know, we didn't know, you know, and then she came back, but just the joy on her face, her spirit was just so bright and strong. Like, when she was singing, Rebecca singing that song, you know, God never stops working. He never stops working. Like, that little girl has so much spirit. Her flips, it's like she never left. She caught up with the kids. She's flipping and flipping. I'm like, she's just like, hold on, let me check this really quick, but I'm coming right back. You know, like, she's just never, God never stops working and keeps moving. And he, it's just, even with coronavirus, I mean, I'm so happy to say that, you know, we're able to not only test our community anymore, but now we started last Thursday vaccinating our community, you know, so it's just like, just proves again, time and time, that God just never stopped working. And don't let coronavirus, you know, scare you too much to just stop praising God. I mean, we literally stopped going to church and just hermits. You know what I mean? That's nothing but the devil just to keep you away from your own praise and your own glory, because you're just letting your own flesh and different things control you instead of letting God control you. And just being here, it just brings so much joy. I'm like, oh my God, I'm at church. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, to see my daughter go up there without Alani, I'm like, oh, we're back at church. Thank you, Lord. Like, it just feels good. Like, we can go to cheer and I can go to work every day. Well, why can't I go to church?
Amen.
You know what I mean? Like, so I'm just happy to be here, and thank you for inviting us. And I hope we continue to grow as a team, as a family. And I just thank God for allowing you and Alani to speak into me and my daughter, because obviously we're here, and hopefully you'll see a whole bunch of cheerleaders in here soon.
Praise God. Thank you, sister. Appreciate that. Woo, hallelujah. Praise God. He never stops working. Amen. Well, all the way from Oklahoma. What city are you from?
Seminole.
Seminole. Seminole, Oklahoma. Pastor David comes to speak to us. Amen. How many, give him a warm welcome this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is my pastor. Hallelujah. If I got a problem, I got his phone on speed dial. Hallelujah.
I love you.
Hey, also, there's a pink box in the back. If you want to give an offering to Pastor David, put his name on it and put it back there so we can get it to him this morning. Okay? We appreciate all of you. Thank you. God bless you. Amen.
Pastor Henry, thank you. Come on, somebody. You good? We ready? It's good to be in the house of the Lord is what the Bible says. There's like a celebration within us for one another. I tell you, every time I'm here, I don't get intimidated a lot, but every time Rebecca starts preaching, I'm thinking, well, maybe I shouldn't be here. Just go. I love you, Becca. I don't know where you're at, but every time. Not just is it good, but you impact me. You do. The anointing on your life, the presence of God in you is such a gift. And I just want to say thank you. I know everyone else feels like that, but I'm only here every once in a while. So I got to say it when I get to say it. But I love you. You are amazing. You have your Bibles open to Joshua chapter 3. I love how God works all things together. Say all things. We want him to work some things, usually our things. But God works all things. He works the good, the bad, the ugly. He works all things together for those who serve him, for those who love him. And in Joshua chapter 3, I knew what I was speaking, but no one else knew I was speaking. I'm thinking, man, Rebecca's about to preach what I'm about to preach. And then our sweetheart at the end starts talking about Israel. And I'm thinking, well, hold on, girl. Don't be trying to steal my message. I know it's not mine. I know it's God's, but I'd like to say something today that sounds somewhat like I'm not copying everyone else that is speaking. You know, starting a new year, there's something about starting. And I know for a lot of us, we begin to develop goals and we begin to have strategies. We want to have a plan for 2021. But I want to remind you that God's already got a plan for 2021. That God isn't looking over the banister of heaven and going, oh my, yeah, I didn't know that was going on. God's never shocked. He's never intimidated. He's never concerned. He's never worried. He's in control. He's in control of my life. He's in control of your life. I just got to keep giving him control. But what I've realized is that I really don't need to write out a bunch of resolutions. What I need is a revelation. That I want to hear what God's saying for 2021 in my life and in the life of the body of Christ. That there is a revelation for my life. And that's not just at a calendar turn. That's every day God says that his mercies are new every morning. In other words, David, I want to speak to you every morning when you wake up with a revelation of who you are and what's in you and what I want to do through you. And as we read Joshua chapter 3, Joshua chapter 3 is a breakout. It is a moment where Israel's faith catches up with God's actions. I'll say that again because sometimes we're waiting for God to move, but it's our faith that activates God's movement. You know, when I went to the airport to fly, I stepped and there's this magic door. If I get close enough, it opens for me. You know, back in the day, you had to open your own doors. Some of you don't remember that, but you even had to turn on the sink in back in the day. But now you just by faith put your hand there and the water flows. You know, can I tell you something? God isn't much different. Sometimes we're waiting on afar, waiting for God to do something. But when you get near, things start opening. When you step in the right direction, miracles start transpiring. God begins to move in our faith, in our action, in our walk. That's what's happening with Israel. For 40 years, Israel's been doing circles. Even though they had a revelation, even though God was speaking promises. But I think, Rebecca, you said it. And maybe you didn't say it this way, but when you were communicating, I was thinking this, is so many times I'm asking God for what I want instead of asking God for what he wants. I begin to lessen or shrink my life by my capacity. I begin to pray that God would maybe change the problems of my life or lessen the problems of my life instead of grow the capacity of my life. We're trying to make everything small instead of letting God be big. And I know that God has the ability to speak and things change, but there's a change that happens on the inside that changes everything on the outside. And you being here today, that God wants to do something on the inside of you. Because the reality is when we walk back out those doors, the world is going to be the same. The struggles are going to be the same. The issues are going to be the same. But I don't want to be the same. I want to be a catalyst that isn't changed by the environment, but begins to change the environment. Joshua was a catalyst to Israel. Israel was talking about how hard or how difficult. They were talking about a land they wanted, but a land that they couldn't believe for. But Joshua began to declare, no, this is our land and this is our place to see God do the impossible, the miraculous. He's a way maker. You know what I want to get away from is talking about God being a way maker when he already made the way. I need to talk about the way maker when it seems like there is no way. Isn't that when God moves the greatest within our life? When we become at our end, but it's his beginning. What the problem is sometimes I want God to join me where I'm at, but God's calling me to join him where he's at. That's where things begin to change. And so in chapter 3, verse 1, God is speaking to Joshua, the leader, but he's really speaking to Israel through Joshua. He is beginning to put something in the spirit of Joshua to mandate or to encourage the flow of what God wants to do. And that's what you have to realize is that there's moments that your pastor will stand on this stage and begin to communicate what God is speaking to him. And if not careful, all of us do it because of maybe where we are, we'll question what God is saying. Or, well, that's for you, but man, I don't know. I'm just wanting this. And we will water down or dilute the word in our life to fit the situation in our life instead of telling the situation in our life to fit the word of our life. And so God is in this moment where he is inspiring Joshua, and Joshua comes in chapter 3, verse 1. It says this, and early in the morning, Joshua and all, I like that. He just doesn't say some or a few, but all the Israelites set out from Shittim. You got to be careful with some words in the Bible. That's one of them. Just being. Anyway. And went to the Jordan, and where they camped before crossing over, after 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your position and follow it. Then you will know which way to go. I want you to hear this. Since you have never been this way before, but keep a distance about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. What he's saying is you got to have a vision for what God's doing, but also understand the principles of who God is. That God is speaking to Israel and he's saying, I'm doing a new thing in Israel. Do you perceive it? Because if not, you are at a place that you've been again and again and again. I've seen 52 New Years in my life. And if not careful, I'll live 2021 like I lived 1995. Or I will try to get 2021 to go back to what I thought was great. If not careful, I'm asking God to redo what he's already done. God's not trying to redo 1995, 2004. God's trying to do 2021. God's not trying to get us back to something. He's trying to get us to what he is doing in this moment, in this season, in this time. He's moving us forward in the direction of what he has for our life. But if not careful, I will continue to remind God who I've been instead of who I am. I'll remind him of what has happened instead of what is happening. I'll have a conviction of talking about what God has done, which is powerful. Man, I look back at the faithfulness of God, and I want a declaration for what God has done, but I also want a declaration for what God is going to do. And sometimes we that been around the church or been around ministry, we carry roadmaps of success. Like this is the road that took us to the right place. But there's seasons. I believe this is one of those seasons where you got to remove where you've been. God is saying, get rid of the roadmap. Take hold of a compass. Find a true north in your life. and begin to blaze trails that you've never blazed. Begin to go places you've never gone. I'm the compass of your life. I'm going to take you places you've never been, you've dreamt of. You never thought you could get there, but I'm going to take you beyond them because God is a God that does what? More than we could think or imagine. That's where he starts. He starts beyond what I can even believe for. So I don't want to keep asking God to join me. I want to say, God, I want to join you. I want to come after you in the things of God. I want to understand that there's a difference between living in God's provision and God's promise. If there's one thing that you look at Israel and can find a fault, is they always wanted to live in God's provision. And I love God because God says this, wherever you are, I'm going to be there. He's telling Joshua, Joshua, if you want to stay in the desert, I'll stay in the desert for you. But I don't have the desert for you. I have the promises for you. But you're at a place of a crossroad. I think all of us in our own life is at a place of a crossroad. Am I going to move into the promises or am I going to stay safe and stay provisional with God? Here's the difference. Is provisional is asking God, when I'm praying, God, I need you to join me. But promises are, God, let me come join you. God is asking Joshua, he's telling Joshua, there's a revelation, and it's not even a new revelation, that whatever I promised Moses is still the same promise. Can I tell you something? Whatever God has spoke to your life is true today just as much as it was then. Well, you don't know what I've done. I know, but I know what he's done. You don't know what I've navigated. I know, but I know that he's overcome everything I'll ever navigate, everything that I'll ever do, and anything that I'll ever fall to. That God's for me. He's not against me. He's not in heaven going, yeah, you messed up. Okay, now it's my turn. That's not God. You won't find that in the Bible. Why? Because Christ paid the price, final price. He didn't just forgive me for the things that I've done. He's forgiven me for anything that I will ever do. The cross defeated sin, death, hell, and the grave. It's who he is. And the thing is, if not careful, I will want him to become who I am. Find me in who I am instead of take me to who he is. Conquer, overcomer, strength, peace, mercy, grace, love. That the fruitfulness of God isn't just the character of God. It's the character of who I should become. It's my faith. Just a little bit of faith. You know what I love about this story is God's not asking them to take a huge step. He's just asking them to take one step. We were hiking this weekend quite a bit. And you know what I realized is you don't leap to a mountaintop. You just take a whole lot of little steps. And they even get slower as you get closer. It's just one step after another. And at the beginning, it seems like, whoo, in the middle, you can't quite see where you've been and you can't quite see where you're going. And that's where most people get stuck. But it's just another step by faith. No, God, by faith, I'm stepping in the direction that you're going to go because you're a God that makes my path straight. When we get our hearts right with God, our paths become straight. Even when we mess up, God will take the crooked place and make it a straight place. God says in verse 5, I want you to consecrate yourself because I'm going to do amazing things tomorrow. Can I tell you something? God is in heaven saying, I've got amazing things for you, but I want you to consecrate. What consecrate means is I want you to get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. There's an old preacher, T.D. Jakes, that they nobody can do it, but he that's what he said. Get ready, get ready. I don't care if you're watching on TV, radio, you're like, I'm ready. Let's go. But that's what God is saying. He says, I want you to ready, not your body. I want Israel, I want you to consecrate your mind because your mind is holding you to what was instead of what can be. It is holding you in a pattern of circles. You know what I love about God? God says that he fashions us like an arrow. You know, the reality is an arrow was never built to stay in the quiver. It was designed to bring out of the quiver and hit a mark. There's a mark in your life that God destined you for, that he put and formed within the womb of your mother. Everything you would ever need, died on a cross so he could pull everything that's in you out of you to obtain the destiny for you. I mean, that's who God is in our life. He is the fulfiller of the destiny of our life. It is not just your dream that you're trying to reach. It's not just someone's dream that we're trying to achieve, but it's the dream that God put. It's his dream in you. And God doesn't tease us. He's not holding a carrot. He's not saying, yeah, I put this in you, but you know, I just put it in you. No, what he put in your heart, he's trying to get into your hands. It starts in the heart. He is motivating the heart of Israel to believe in the heart of God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not. You know it. You know why? Because my understanding is emotional. My understanding is limited many times to the circumstance of my life, the problem of my life, instead of the promise of my life. God's not concerned with the problems of my life. He's concerned with the promise of my life. He's bigger than the problems of my life. No matter what I face, God's bigger. So God isn't limited. He never looks down and he's like, whoa, Dave, yeah, I didn't know. Yeah, you're messed up. Good luck. Peace out, bro. No, God looks down and he's not concerned with what surrounds me. He's concerned with what's in me. Because greater is he who's in me than anything I'll ever face. Greater is he who's in me than the mountain I'm going to climb. Greater is he who's in me than the valley that I've got to navigate. He's greater. And what he's trying to do within Israel, he's saying, I'm up to a new thing. I'm up to a God thing. But if you see me in the same way, if I've got to join you, then it's about provision, not promise. I'm not asking you I'm asking you, Israel, to join me. I want to make your path straight. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Why? Because God has an anticipation for your life. You realize that, right? That God has an expectation on your life because he designed you. He knows you. He has shaped you. He put everything in you to get you to exactly where you're supposed to go. He has an expectation of the gift, the abilities, the spirit, your anointing. There's an expectation. You know what happens with expectation is it builds enthusiasm. It builds a readiness of, oh, what's next? I know Christmas was crazy with COVID, but it was still Christmas. I look back, I was talking about stories of Christmas and, you know, I was telling about how when my kids are young, I bought them gifts that I wanted, kind of, to be honest. You know the gift you wanted when you were a kid, but you didn't get it? So you're like, well, my kid's getting it. I remember buying Cameron, he was like 3 or 4 years old. I bought him this amazing remote control car because I knew he wanted it because I wanted one like that. Like father, like son. And so I bought him this remote control car and it was amazing. It wasn't like, it was a kid's car. It was fun. I mean, you could drive it around. It was all these things. It had even a horn on it. And so he opens it up and I keep trying to get him to play with the car, but he is so fascinated with the box. And I'm like, kid, who cares about the box? Like, I'm throwing the box away. You're playing with this car. You know what it is I had a greater want for him. He was happy with the box. I think sometimes in my life, David, when have you just become happy for the box instead of the gift? When have you just diluted your thinking, your life, your spirit, that you've settled for second instead of God? You are doing circles in your desert, but it's become so familiar the way you live. You've lived like this for a while. Do you realize that the men that are about to go into the promises of God had never seen the promised land? They had only heard about it from Joshua. They had lived with parents that told them, this is who we are and this is who we will always be. But the father of their life, God, wasn't saying that to them. He was saying, no, I'm going to take you places you've never been, do some things that you've never done, to achieve some things that you've only dreamt of. There are big things in your life. And if not careful, we remind God in our infinite wisdom, well, God, I know, but what about this? You know what it is? It's an insecurity in my life that I don't question if God could do it. I question if God could do it with me. I have faith for God to do it for you, but sometimes I limit my faith in what God could do for me. Why? Because I know me. We've all done circles, but God pulls that arrow. That arrow, it's meant to hit a target. I tell people, sometimes I feel more like a boomerang. I mean, I get shot out. Whoa, let's go. Like, how did I end up here? That's the frustrating thing, running on a treadmill. You ever run on a treadmill? Of course not. Why would you want to run on a treadmill? Why would you want to run? I mean, if you want to run, God bless you. Run for me. I have a conviction about running, and I'm pure. I'm totally committed to it. No running in my life. But that's sometimes they're not careful. You're just moving. And then when you stop, you find yourself in the same place that you started. God's not trying to drop you off where you've been. He's trying to take you where you've never been. See, that's 2021. God's not worried about what's happening within our social climate. He's not concerned about what's happening in our political climate. He's not even concerned. Listen, I know he's concerned. I know he cares about it. But you know what he's concerned about? Is building the kingdom. That I want to build the kingdom. God's not saying, listen, I'm going to take you to the promises. God doesn't mention the walls of Jericho. He doesn't mention the giants. He doesn't mention the battles. He doesn't mention the struggle. He doesn't mention the issues. He doesn't mention the sin. He just says, I want to take you somewhere. Do you want to go? God's not looking for a reason. He's just looking for a yes. And Joshua says yes. And then he begins to go with the people and says, hey, consecrate yourself because God is going to do amazing things. You ever met a person that is so gifted at telling you what's wrong? They say they're keeping it real, but come on. They're just negative. I don't want to convict you if you're here today, but God bless you. Well, you know, I'm just being honest. No, you're not. What I've realized is that someone that loves you will find what's right with you. It doesn't take anyone to tell you what's wrong with you. We know what's wrong with us. But God isn't looking for what's wrong. He's looking for what he designed right. And he's trying to build the God in you. He's trying to build the destiny in you. He's trying to build the vision in you. He's taking you somewhere that you can't take yourself. That's what I love about God. Is he's going to take me places I would never take. When I look at my life as a 15-year-old, if you told me I would do this with my life, I would probably say, oh, thank you. And then walk away thinking, you are a crazy person. I would never perceive the great things that God has done with my life, but he's still done them. He's still faithful. There's an anticipation of what God has for our life. I love what 1 Corinthians 9:24 says. It says, do you not know that in a race, all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. When I read this scripture, I've always read this scripture in the aspect of this, that I got to run to win. That if you run, you'll win. But that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says you're going to lose, but even when you lose, you should run to win. You're not going to always win the race, but you should run in a manner to win the race. Your mindset should always be, no, I was praying for someone. I said, man, I just believe you're healed. Well, I know, but what if I'm not? Well, then you're not. I mean, if we just want to start there, yeah, let's live. Yeah, you're probably not going to get healed. My bad. I don't even know why we're praying. Let's go get some lunch. Man, come on, take it. Come on. There's an attitude of faith that creates an action. Sometimes there was someone that was saying to me the other day, I hope I don't throw myself under the bus too much, but they were talking to me about my journey of my life. And I was preaching this message and they came and they said, man, how do you live that? Like, I'm watching you. Man, you've been through a lot this last 2 years, but man, you're running. Like, how are you doing that? Like, man, you've already got it. And I said, bro, what I preach today, I'm trying, it's faith. I haven't got there, I'm getting there. You don't get there, you're getting there. You have a mindset that's taking you somewhere new. You're believing that you realize that you're not able, but you've got to become willing because he's able. He's the God who's able in our life. He's the God that wants to do more. And what I'm asking God for is, God, I don't want you to meet me here. I want to meet you there. I don't want to stay in the provisional of who you are in my life. I want to step into the promises of who you are. But what I realize is when I'm stepping towards a promise, I'm stepping beyond who I am. It makes me feel small. It makes me feel vulnerable. It makes me feel less than. But my confidence isn't in who I am. My confidence is in who he is. That I'm not fighting for victory, I'm fighting from victory. I'm not trying to get victorious, I'm already victorious. I'm not trying to get healed, I'm already healed. He's not going to heal, he's healing. He's not a God that's loving, he is love. It's a mindset that we've got to break and continue to move forward. In Joshua 3, verse 14, it says, so when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. I love this. God takes the worst time to do the greatest thing. See, if this would have happened for me, I would have been like, God, I know we're supposed to cross, but hey, heads up. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but it's flood season. You know what I realize is God's not concerned because it's never flood season for God. God's not looking at the limitation of my problem going, oh, yeah, you're right. This is a bad problem. This is a difficult. No, he doesn't know it's flood season. He doesn't care that it's flood season because he's bigger than the moment. Sometimes if not careful, I can say, well, God, it's COVID or it's this or I've got a reason. You know what happens is I have a reason that will excuse my lack of faith. But God is asking them to move on what God is saying, not what they're saying, not what the weather is saying, not what their circumstance is saying, not what their problem is saying, not what their situation is saying, but what his word is saying, that I'm with you, that I'm taking you to the promises of what I declared and what I asked for you, that I have something more, that it's a new day and it's a new thing. And it says, yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan, and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing, and it piled a heap a great distance away. In other words, God started the miracle before they even knew he started the miracle. God's miracle was in Zarethan, and they're all the way down in the desert. What they don't know is when they took the step of faith, God started the process. But we don't like process. I mean, you ever been to McDonald's for 45 seconds and you're like, what are they doing in there? This is ridiculous. I ordered 5 hamburgers and fries and like 5 sodas and some apple. I've been here for a minute and a half. It's now. We want everything now. It's like, God, I'm going to step. Oh, it didn't happen. I'm going to step back. That's not faith. That's test. I'm going to test God. Whoop, God didn't do it. All right, I'm back. I'm going to stay where it's safe. I'm going to keep my heart safe. I'm going to keep my life safe. I'm going to keep my mind safe. No, I'm going to step where God's asking me to go, and then I'm going to stand. God says when you've done everything you can, stand. And when you've stood, then stand firm. Make up your mind. Make up your spirit that God is up to something. And it says that the priest in verse 17 who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Well, I want you to see something, because in the days of Moses, he carried a staff. And when they came to the Red Sea, God said, stretch the staff out. And the Red Sea parted and Israel crossed. When they needed something from God, he worked with the staff. And it was like miracles came out of the staff. But God said to Israel, I'm not going to use the staff. See, that's the problem. It's like Israel could say, Joshua, go get the staff. I ain't got a staff. That was Moses' staff. We want you to stretch out the staff and then we'll cross, because that's the sign, because that's how we once did it. But how you did it isn't how you're going to do it. It doesn't take faith to do what you've done. It takes faith to do what you've never done. So God says, no, I'm not using a staff. I'm using you. You're the staff. I'm going to ask you to get in the water. Well, it's flood. God, it's flood. This thing's going to drown me. No, you're going to stand because I'm for you. You're going to step into something that's beyond you, but it's not beyond me. I'm a God who's for you. I love what James 2:18 says, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith with my deeds. You know what God is saying? There's a verse that literally says, show me your faith by what you say, I'll show you my faith by what I do. God was asking Israel to move in an action of faith, not a mindset of faith. Well, God, if you're real, it will happen. Can I tell you something, Joey? What Pastor Henry spoke to you is a word to encourage what you know is in your heart to move into action. It's not like, well, God spoke and I'm just going to chill over here. Wait for it. You'll wait for it the rest of your life. Israel died in the desert waiting for the promise. The promise wasn't coming to them. The promise was somewhere they were supposed to get to. And if not careful, we will wait for promises instead of just a step. Sometimes it's just a step. It's just a change of direction. No, God, I'm going to come after you. Yeah, you've come and failed every time, but not this time. I'm going to step again. I'm going to believe again. I'm going to believe in the God that does it again and again and again and again. That's bigger than my mistakes. That's greater than my sin. That has overwhelmed everything that is trying to hinder me. And he's moving me. He's shooting me out into the destiny that he's called me to. But I will not fulfill it without stepping into his presence. I'm going to step into a new place. Worship team, why don't you come? It's amazing because they cross the Jordan and they come to a place called Gilgal. And when they get to Gilgal, what they do is they begin to celebrate what God has already done. Can I tell you something? When is the last time that you've just celebrated God getting you here? You didn't even think you would get here. And you're mad that God's got you here. Come on, man, I got a hand up. You didn't know that God could get you to where you are. Well, reality is God's not even done, but when have you just said, man, God, they stop in Gilgal and they begin to worship God and they build an altar in Gilgal that Israel comes back for years and years, for centuries, and they begin to worship God in Gilgal. Why? Because they wanted to remember, God, if you could do it then, you'll do it now. I got a word for you. What God did then to get you here is what he'll do here to get you there. If God got you here, he's going to get you there. But if not careful, I'll settle in the there of convenience. You ought to realize it's much more difficult to leave a good place than a bad place. But just because it's a good place doesn't mean it's God's place. I want God's place. I want a place that God's moving, God's working. You know, I think it was Thursday, Pastor Henry and I were on the phone and we had like a preach out. Where you are, Pastor Henry and I started talking. We started talking about things of faith, and he said something that just shocked me. It shook me. We were talking about Gilgal, and at Gilgal, it's crazy because they consecrated themselves on the other side of the Jordan. They crossed the Jordan. They celebrated God, but then they got their life right with God. That was what Gilgal was. God did the miracle to separate them from what was. That's called salvation. But then they stepped into a place of obedience that opened up the possibility of his promises. And it says after they healed in Gilgal, that they arose and they ate some produce of the land. In other words, they ate from the promise. Manna didn't come that day. God didn't supply a provision. They went and got their promise. They weren't sitting waiting for God. They stepped out and said, no, now we're going to go get what's ours. We're not waiting for God to bring what's ours. We're moving in a different mindset. I'm going to get what God has in my life. If there's a conviction in my life, there's a conviction in my life that I do not want to live the end of my life thinking, I wish I coulda, woulda, shoulda. Because at the end of our life, we will not, listen to me, we will not be more concerned about what we did wrong. We'll be concerned about what we didn't do. The risk I didn't take, the thing that I could have done, where I should have trusted. And so when they leave Gilgal, they're going to the place where called Jericho. Jericho's the most fortified city in the world at that time. It's funny because God begins to build their faith. If you can believe for the Jordan, then you can believe for Jericho. But he didn't take him to Jericho first. He took him to Jordan. So whatever God's asking you to believe for now is setting you up to believe for something even greater. And so they're on the road to Jericho. And Joshua, you know, he just crossed. Come on, man. He told these people something that's going to happen. Kind of like, hey, God's going to give us this building. When Pastor Henry that, I was like, God bless you, bro. And then he called me and was like, God gave us the bill. I was like, I knew it. I was standing with you, man. I knew it the whole time. Faith's contagious. You think COVID's contagious? COVID ain't got nothing on faith. Yeah. You get around some people with faith, it will start stirring up your spirit to believe for things. I mean, there is something about it. And Joshua, man, he's leading them. He's strong right now. And he sees a guy that has a sword in his hand. And he walks up to this guy and says, you for us or against us? You're against us? We're going to kill you, basic. That's what he's saying. Like, you better hope you're not against us. We just crossed the Jordan, bro. I love what he says. He says, I'm not for you or against you. I'm for the one God. I'm from the King of Kings, and I'm for the Lord of Lords. I'm here to give you a message that what God said, he will complete. That there's a God for you, not a God against you. That there's a God with you, not a God catching up with you. That God hasn't lost you in your travels, but he's been with you no matter where you've been. I've said this probably here, I'll say it again, that God is everywhere all the time, or he isn't anywhere any of the time. That when you are after God, you'll find him. And when you're running from God, you'll keep running into God. That's who God is. And so they walk up, and Pastor and I were talking about this guy, and we were talking about how, man, what he was saying is, God's with us. Mm-hmm. I began to think of stories like David, when he looked at Goliath, and Goliath was saying, who sings this boy? And he says, you don't need to worry about who I am. You know who you need to worry about is who I'm with. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, King Nebuchadnezzar says, you're going to bow a knee. And then when they don't bow, he brings them in. He says, there's not a God that can save you from this flame. I love what Shadrach says. He says, then you don't know my God. You don't know who's with me. You don't know who's with me. Because the God of my life can save me from the flame. And even if he doesn't, he's still God. When Daniel walked into the lion's den, he wasn't worried about lions because he was worshiping his God. See, whatever you set your eyes on, you'll start to worship. If you're setting your eyes on problems, you'll worship problems. But if you start setting your eyes on his promise, oh my goodness, you will start believing in his promise. There's something about it. Why? Because God is for us. God is for us. When the prophet looks out and his young protege is saying, oh gosh, there's an army out there and there's a lot. He says, there's not more of them. We have more with us than are against us. And you may feel like you're in a season where it's against you, but the God that is for you is more than. The God that is with you is greater than. Will you just stand with me this morning? See, we're in a season where either we believe or we don't believe. And when I believe, it creates an action. I think I've even preached this as here. It's an old message I preach, but I preach a message. Either you have an O-man or an amen. Right. Amen means let it be. Yes and amen. That this, I agree. I'm in agreement with you. I love when Joshua ran through the camp that he didn't get an oh man. Hey man, we're gonna cross the Jordan. Oh man, again. Oh, what's that gonna cost us? No, he didn't have an oh man, he had an amen. And I gotta be careful because when God speaks things into my life, I don't wanna have a oh, okay, I guess. No, it's not something I have to do. It's something I get to do that I want to keep stepping into the promises of who he is. And I don't know where you are, but I know he's with you. And I don't know what you're navigating, but I know he's bigger. And I don't know what problems you're facing, but there's a promise that is greater on your life. I know that. I don't know everything about who you are and what you're going, but I know who he is. And that he is a God that has overcome all things. That he defeated a cross that tried to defeat you. He defeated everything. So that what wants to conquer you can no longer conquer you when you step in faith through Christ. Poverty can't conquer you. Sin can't conquer you. The old can't conquer you. A mindset can't conquer you. Unless you just say, no, I'm just going to do some circles. Listen, I'm good where I am. But you know what I realize is people act good where they are, but they're never good where they are. Because they know there's more. They know there's more. And if you know there's more and you feel like you're living with less, God wants to work in your heart today. If you know, I know there's more, but man, it just feels like I'm less than the more, that's a great place. Because you're getting set up to believe for the more. It's God put something in your heart to believe, to take a step today in a direction. You can say, well, David, you don't know what's happening outside these four walls. I know, but I know who God is and what he'll do in your heart today, now, right here, right here, right here. That when you walk out, problems will be smaller, your courage will be greater, your strength will be stronger, your faith will be activated. There's something in you. You got to catch it, not just hear it. So I want to pray for you today. Just want to pray for you today. Just going to ask you to look at me. Usually I say, hey, bow your head, close your eyes. But we're family, right? We're better together. Amen. If you're in a season where you feel like there's more, but you're living with less, I just want you to raise your hand. Say, hey, that's me. Just going to be honest. I feel like I know there's more, but I keep wanting to live with less. Maybe I'm so passionate about this because I feel like there's so much more in my life. I feel like there's so much more in the kingdom. I feel like there's so much more in the church. And if not careful, we will excuse our way. It's flood season. This, that, whatever. Instead of saying, no, you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the God of God. You are the author and the perfecter of my faith. You will not put on me more than I am able. But you will leave a way, not just of escape, but a victory in my life. That there's victory in my life. And if God had to bring some crazy white guy from Oklahoma that doesn't even have an accent yet, he must really love you. He must have more for you than you could think or imagine. He must want to do more in your guys' life than you can even fathom. That the dreamer, the believer, the man. It's like, is this just rhetoric or do I? No, it is the Spirit of God in your life. Because there's more. God isn't asking. You'll read Bible. God has never asked anyone to live with less. There's more in you, man. Isn't there? Are you guys husband and wife? You should listen to her. That's not necessarily a word from God. That's just, it might be. Because you know what the reality is? She sees who you could be. You'll see who you've been. She'll cheer you on when you'll quit. And it will even annoy you when she says, you know what? There's more. I know there's, just leave me alone. Because there's more in you. If you just leave with that knowledge today, it will change everything you do. I'm not going to get discouraged in the last because I know there's more. I'm not going to get discouraged in the flood season because I know I'm crossing it. I'm not going to get discouraged in the problem because I know there's a promise. I'm not going to get discouraged in what I'm navigating because I know I'm going to a mountaintop. That there's more in my life. There's more in your life. He's the encourager of your life. He sees you when you don't think anyone sees you. That he is for you even more than you're for you. He's got your heart. There's such a gift of compassion on you. You love people. You want everyone to win. But you feel like at times you're losing. And you're not. You're not. It's a lie. You're not going backwards. You're not hesitating. You're not limited. There's more in you. Greater is he who's in your life, sweetheart. There's more in you. If I could just run down the sideline of your life, like, I know I'm crazy. That's what we used to have. When my kid would break free for a touchdown, I'd be running down the sideline. It would embarrass. He wished he would just keep running. That's God in your life. God is running down the sideline of your life, and he is cheering you on because he knows what's in you. Come on, church. He knows what is in you. He knows what is in you. You forgot, but he knows. He knows. I just want to pray for you. Would you just lift your hands to the heavens? We're going to sing this song, and I'm going to pray for you. Pastor Henry is going to come. But I want you to, as I pray today, as you just bow your head, close your eyes, I want you to know it's not about a feeling. It's not about an emotion, though I have feelings and I'm emotional. But that what God is doing in his spirit, in your heart, is supernatural. Today, what God is speaking to you isn't just some individual trying to articulate his grace and his goodness. It is God's heart he wants to get in you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus today, Father, we are more than conquerors. That, God, we are going to a new place in a new way, and we're believing you. That we don't just have a talk, but we have a faith. That we're going to show the world by what we do, not just by what we say. And that doors are going to open. Finances are going to open. Lord, love is going to open. Relationships going to open. Passions and goals and dreams, businesses are going to open. God, because we're going to step into somewhere where we've never stepped to believe for things that we've never had. Because that's who you are. It's your personality. It is how you created the world. You spoke it into existence. And so, Father, I pray today that your Holy Spirit would speak. Speak to hearts again. People that feel dried up and dried out, Lord, you're like a stream in the desert is what the Bible says. Lord, fill them up. That you're a cup that runs over. That you are a God that wells up and springs up into eternal life. That when we drink from this well, that we'll never become thirsty again. That you're a God for us. For us. For us. For us, God. You're for us. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would not just move within us in this facility, but we would understand who you are, that you're not a God that comes just in us, but you're a God that wants to work through us. Through us. That you want to put things within us to get it out of us. Dreams in us to live them out. Blessings in us to give them out. Lord, so I pray today, Lord, that we are not less. We are not just believing for more. That what's in our hearts, you're committed to get in our hands. But you're not wanting to give it to us. You're wanting to partner with us. So Father, we say yes. God, let us have a yes on our life for the yes that you've put in us. Yes, God, I'm going to believe. Yes, God, we're going to go. Yes, God, you're going to do it. Yes. My answer to you, God, is yes. It's a yes, Father. Lord, would you seal that within our hearts? Would you seal that, God, in Jesus' name? In Jesus' name. Pastor Henry, would you come just as he's coming? Can I tell you, Abara family, there's a legacy in you. Sylvia, there's a legacy in you. Rick, there's a legacy in you. That what you started will not fade in the generations to come, but it will grow in the generations to come. Hallelujah. And if not careful, as parents, we want more and we're believing more, but God wants more for the generations than you want. What you're praying for, God wants to do even more in your kids. God wants to take them further. That's God's heart. That's not God's heart. That's God's promise. He's got not just you. He's got them. Right, Sylvia? He's got them. I'm telling you, don't believe anything else. He's got them. In a moment, just, he's got them. He's got them. It's on. I know you don't want to hear it, but it's on like Donkey Kong. It's on. Listen, when we, pastor's going to lead you and maybe Becca's going to come and sing, but when you leave this place, you got to leave, before you walk out that door, you got to walk out and say, no, God, I'm not walking out like I came in. I'm not defeated. I'm not less than. I am more than. And I'm going to step out those doors, and the phone call that tries to distract me, I'm not taking it anymore. The situation that's trying to remind me, I'm not going to be reminded by it. I'm going to remind the situation who God is in my life.
Yeah.
That this doesn't control me. He controls me. This doesn't push me back. No, he is pushing me forward. Amen?
Ooh.
Come on, Pastor.
Amen. Let's see.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.